Welcome to the Alternalito podcast. I'm your host, Canyon Cody, taking you on a deep dive into the world of Latin alternative with in-depth conversations with legends like Juanes and Julieta Venegas, Café Tacuba, Natalia Lafourcade, and a new generation of young superstars like Omar Apollo, Danny Lux, Cuco, and Iván Cornejo, who have all stopped by our weekly radio program, Alternalito with Subsuelo, broadcasting at the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 FM in Los Angeles. But on the radio show, we only have time to air brief snippets of those conversations. So here on the Alternalito podcast is where you will find the unedited, uncut, extended version of all those interviews. Follow and listen to the Alternalito podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app. This is Alternalito. I am your host, Canyon Cody, and I am so excited because we have with us today, St. Vincent. How you doing today?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you.
I have to say, I did not have having St. Vincent on the show on my bingo card for this year, and there's nothing in this world that I love more than surprises. You're somebody who I've been a big fan of for a lot of years, but we primarily play Spanish language music on this show, and then you have a new Spanish language project coming out. I am just in love with this idea of meeting your fans halfway. That was the story that I heard about. What was the beginning of this? Tell me what does meeting your fans halfway mean to you?
Well, so I've been lucky enough to get to play in Latin America, in Spain. And I have had a number of experiences there where I am completely blown away because people are singing my songs back to me at the concerts in perfect English. And it's like, and that's not their first language. It might not even be their second language. It could be their third language, but they know all the words to the songs. And I was just so honestly grateful and blown away by that, that I thought, well, okay, if they've been coming to me for these years and these albums, maybe I can try to meet them halfway and do a version of this record that is all in Spanish. So that was the thought process behind it.
And was the thought process immediately the seed of what we see today, that I will do my most recent album? Or did it go with, like, maybe I'll redo my debut album, or I'll do a greatest hits, or maybe I'll write a whole new album? Or was the vision clear from the little baby idea?
Totally, the entire catalog, but Anita's version. It was spawned on, one, by my desire to become fluent in Spanish, which I've been working on. I'm not there yet, but I'm working on that daily. And I thought, okay, I studied Spanish in junior high and high school, like we all did, but I want to be able to actually talk to people and have meaningful conversations in Spanish. Because again, I just feel like when you could speak to someone in their first language or their native tongue, people open up in a way that they wouldn't necessarily open up in their third or fourth language. Anyway, so the idea behind this was, All Born Screaming, the record, to me has a whole lot of, it's about life and death and love, and that's kind of it. It's romantic in that way, with a small R. And there's a lot of imagery about love and pain and death that is very steeped in Catholic imagery. So it made some sense to me that this would be the record that I translate into Spanish, because there is that kind of a shared iconography to begin with, in a lot of the countries. All of the countries have a tremendous amount of Catholic, and I don't mean to undercut the indigenous populations who lived there before and were colonized. That's a whole other conversation. But right now, the iconography of Catholicism is all over this record. So it seemed like it would be a good fit.
Yeah, I think that the whataboutism argue of like, well, why haven't you re-recorded this album in Quechua, the indigenous language of Peru? Like, that's not the point. How about we just try one thing today?
Yeah, well, you know, which goes back to, I mean, because I'm also a huge fan of Portuguese and Brazilian music. So I was like, you know, maybe I'll do a Brazilian Portuguese version. And then I got halfway through the Spanish language version, was like, I am so far over my head. There's no way. There's no way.
But your creativity, as I've perceived from a distance, seems to be that you kind of like the deep end. You like being a little bit over your head.
I do. And what this allowed me, very selfishly, it allowed me to go in some cases with the language. Okay, what do I mean? What am I can't use the exact phrase. This expression is not an expression in Spanish. So what do I mean? And I had the opportunity in a lot of those cases to alter the language to actually make it oftentimes more romantic or more generous, like less pessimistic in its tone. There's less acidity to it. And that's something that I would not have allowed myself in English.
And generous is one of the ways that I would describe this project. This was, you know, really. Where did you learn generosity, or did you have any experiences with an artist that you were a fan of that demonstrated generosity to their fans?
Well, I mean, early on, I would go on tour with my aunt and uncle, who were jazz musicians, and I saw how hard they worked, and I saw how they would wait out, and I mean, they would sign every CD. It was CDs at the time. I guess CDs are coming back, but you know, sign every CD, sign every poster, talk to people after the shows, make real human connections. You know, these aren't data points. Like, this is human beings. And if you're a musician, you get to be part of this amazing continuum of music that has existed since, you know, human life has been on this planet. Like, we've always been making sounds and making things. And if you get to give back to this thing, to this well of music that's given you so much, like, the only way you can be about it is gracious. Like, that this, I've gotten, my music has given me my whole life. I mean, learning how to play an ergonomic piece of wood and metal gave me my whole life. Everyone I've ever met, every place I've ever ventured, the deepest friendships, you know, like, how could you not be sort of grateful to this, this vast unknowable thing that is music, and by proxy to, like, the people who this music that you make becomes a soundtrack to their lives, and then they go live their lives, and it transforms, and it goes on and on forever and ever and ever. It's like, it's the best thing. I don't know another way to do it.
And now music has given you the most labor-intensive Duolingo app of all time.
Yeah, it really has. It really has. I think, you know, I think, yes, I definitely like to be out of my depth, and I was certainly out of my depth here, but I know that it wasn't, that nothing about it was cynical on my part, so I can sleep at night.
Yeah.
You know, and I know I'm also not a native speaker, so I'm not going to sound like this is my native tongue. But my best case scenario, I think, was like 99 Luft Balloons. Like, you know, that's not, that wasn't her. She's singing with a very heavy German accent, but it's cool. You know, you're still into it.
And that, that doing an inventory of intentions, I think that a project like this from another artist could immediately whiff of kind of cash grab or some sort of market. Like, oh, I could probably just double my market share by re-recording this in Spanish pretty quickly. Whereas I don't think anyone in the universe perceives this album as that. There is something about taking a moral inventory of, like, am I doing this for the right reasons? I imagine being famous is a bit disorienting. How do you measure your own intentions?
Well, I am a successful musician and really glad about that. But I'm at the free appetizer on occasion level of fame. You know, I'm on the oh the waiter happens to be a fan and is has comped the bread. You know, I'm not at a I can't walk down the street without, you know, Beatlemania. I know there are a lot of gradations between, but what I'm very grateful for as a writer is that there's some people who are just so astronomically famous that when they walk into the room, you just know you feel like a magnetic pulse. You're like you just are drawn to it. You just know. And so all as a human being and being in the orbit of another very famous person, you're like you can't help but sort of change what you'd normally doing because you're thinking maybe this famous person is looking at me or whatever. There are people who change the atmosphere of a room. I'm not that person. And what it allows me to do is actually have conversations with people without them necessarily knowing who I am or what I do. It allows me to watch people. I sound like a voyeur and I'm not, but it
No.
allows me to sort of live in the world in a way that is very interesting to me because I get to watch people instead of them watching me.
Have you ever written a song but realized this would be such a big hit that I would lose that anonymity? Like, do you have some
Oh no,
sort
listen, no, I'm not a martyr. It's not like I listen, I would, you know, no, I'm not like I'm just sitting on the greatest pop hits of all time, but I won't give up my precious anonymity. No, I make music that I love and want to make and that I'm compelled to make that is maybe not for everybody. I mean, I'm not saying I'm trying to exclude anyone. Everyone is welcome, but it might not be the thing that we all want to sing at a soccer stadium. And that's okay with me. I genuinely that this is my natural expression. And I am lucky to get to do it.
So we have one rule on the show, which is no apologizing for the quality of your English or Spanish, because I would say it is the most universal common thing that every single artist that comes on the show is either from Latin America and they're apologizing to me about their bad English, or they are Latinos like me, born here in the States, whose Spanish is kind of broken. And they're apologizing about, like, I feel guilty when I go to Spain and I should speak better Spanish because my grandma, she taught me, but I didn't,
I know.
and there is something that is so hard to just admit that we are at the level we're at.
Yes, we are at the level we're at, and very funny things happen when you are at the level you're at, i.e., in English, you know, I can make jokes, I can tell a story, I can be a great person to sit next to at a dinner party. In Spanish, I can tell you that I'm going to the football game. You know, and so all of these aspects of your personality that you think, well, I'm the funny one, or I'm the witty one, or I'm the one with all the anecdotes, all of that goes out the window when you are learning a new language because it's obviously, I mean, I'm preaching to the choir, but it's not as if you're just learning a new language. You are every word has different meanings and connotations and choice and all these. It has the history. Every word has the history of humanity within it.
I was in a relationship in a school year abroad in which I didn't speak their native language and they didn't speak my native language. And so we had to each speak a shared third. And we had less arguments than any relationship I've ever had in my life.
Incredible. You know what? Maybe there's a case for that. There's a case to be made for what was the shared third language?
The shared third language was Spanish. And so she was French, I
Oh.
speak English, and I learned English as a second generation Latino, and so my English was my native language, and Spanish was, like you said, it was I could express very straightforward things, not complicated. I feel undermined in my essence when you glance at me this
Yes,
way.
exactly. Yes. Yes, you can speak about things that are in the present tense. Period. Yes.
So the original album, 41 minutes, 14 seconds, Palindrome, is the new record. Did you keep the audio exactly the same? Is everything, is the timing, is every millisecond in between songs
Yes.
the same?
All of the mastering is exactly the same. So whether it's the spaces between the songs. It is 41 minutes and 14 seconds. The palindrome aspect to me was very important. That's how I knew All Born Screaming was done,
And
is when it came back.
do you need to go back and retroactively like ask Dave Grohl, like, is it okay if I put you on a Spanish language record now?
Oh, you know what? I didn't even think of that. That is a really good question. I should maybe get consent from all the other musicians. The thing that it was not only a heavy lift in terms of making sure translations felt good, making sure pronunciation was good. It was also I redid all of the vocal production on the record, which there is a lot of vocal production, and not to get too in the weeds, but I mean, I may have a lead vocal, but that vocal may be three. It might have a double and a triple. Not usually, but it might. So you're not just you're and then the background vocals, because I sing all the with the exception of my really good friend Kate LeBond, who's an amazing artist, I sang all the vocals on All Born Screaming. So, and I wasn't going to call my wonderful Welsh friend Kate LeBond to come and sing Todos Nacemos Gritando. That would have been too much for her. That would have been a hat on a hat. So I re-sang all the vocals on Todos Nacen Gritando. So it was a heavy lift. You know, it was a lot of background vocals and stacks and, all that.
So we're coming up to the end here. One of the things that you said when you were here at K-Rock 6 months ago, talking about the English language version of the album, was that you have people in your life, music heads that you can go to if you want to learn everything about Detroit House or everything, you can go to Questlove or you can go to another
Justin Meldal
friend.
Johnson. Yeah. Justin JMJ. Yeah.
What is the genre that you are that for? Or what is the top? It doesn't even need about music. It could be about like 18th century puzzles or something. What is the thing that somebody comes to you because you are that person about?
I might know a fair amount about the gulag. You
Ooh, I
know,
don't know anything about that.
yeah,
What is a gulag just like a Russian prison like that?
like the Russian, like Stalin's Russian
Oh, all
prisons.
right. We're gonna have to
I
take
mean,
that conversation
I might
offline, but I
know.
want to
Yeah,
know.
this is,
That's
I
cool.
don't
That's cool.
know. There are better scholars than I am, certainly, but if you want musicians presenting knowledge,
Wow,
I could
cool.
do. I know a lot about the gulag.
That's fascinating.
I know a lot about 20th century Soviet propaganda. I got very, listen, the pandemic was long, right? I know a lot about the East German secret police and the Stasi, who are the Stasi. I know a lot about authoritarians and dictators and mass
Nice.
murderers. Yeah. So,
Great fashion is one of the things that you really can't hold up against the dictators, is they tend to have a really good sense of a nice suit.
they do well. Don't get me in a of being like, yeah, you know what? They got this right. No, I'm not going there. But what they always did have was a uniform and a brand.
A brand. So you mentioned in other interviews, Bomba Estéreo, Calle 13, Rosalía, Caetano Veloso as artists, Spanish language artists that had, that you're fans of. Do you have any early memories? Do you have any like for most of us at around the same age, it's gonna be like Ricky Martin or something like that.
My honest answer is that the reason I play guitar is because I saw Lou Diamond Phillips play Ritchie Valens in La Bamba when I was 5 years old.
That's crazy.
And I was like, what is that? So the earliest memories would be like Ritchie Valens. And then certainly, I mean, I went down, whether it's like Os Mutantes, you said Caetano, Selena was big in Texas growing up. Obviously, I could tell you, five artists I love, but that's nowhere near scratching the surface of all of the genres and variations and Cuban. I didn't even get to like Cuban music. It's like it
I would
goes
say
on and
that
on and on.
Ritchie Valens' La Bamba is probably the most common answer I get from Latino artists about, that
Really?
question. Yeah, it's that it
That's
is
really
it, it it
cool.
is the beginning. It is our Genesis moment. So, we're coming up at the end very quickly. Last question that we ask every artist who comes on the show. It is it's nice to be a rock star, and if you want to go to a show, you can probably text a friend and get put on the list. It's one of the things I like being about a DJ here at the radio station is I get to go to a lot of concerts. What
Yes.
is the last concert that you took out your wallet and bought a ticket for with your money?
The last concert that I bought a ticket for. Okay, I'm scrolling through a Rolodex because
Now, often the
I
answer to this
can't
question is like
remember.
college.
Oh, no, it wasn't that long ago. But I'm trying to, oh, is the point that like
No, just it's usually sometimes people the answer is like Harry Styles, my daughter wanted to go and I couldn't get tickets. I won 30
Right.
Grammys and I couldn't get tickets to that.
Totally,
Or
totally. There
it's
was.
like, yeah, it's been about 20. I asked Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers and he was like, yeah, dude, it's been a while.
Yeah, I'm sure. I am trying to remember the last. I feel like I bought tickets to something recently. Oh, you know what? It wasn't a concert. It was like an experimental theater performance in London a few weeks ago.
Nice. Well, I mean, I feel like
That doesn't
your
count.
career. No, I know it counts. I mean, I feel like the experimental theater and a lot of your albums, maybe not this album so much. This one feels a lot more kind of authentically you rather than a character.
All of it is me, through every record is me. And on the records where I was dealing with the idea of like persona and deconstructing identity, I had a whole lot of fun with, outfits. But this record isn't about really any of that. It's really just about life and death and love and like we're all we got, so let's go. And life is very short. So that it would have felt strange, I think, to prance around in a blonde wig, considering the subject material of this record,
Well, Annie, thank you so much for being generous with your time with us and so generous to your fans for re-recording this album. Todos Nacen Gritando is coming out in November 15th. You got some shows in Mexico City at Corona Capital, November 16th. And then next year, the huge Estéreo Picnic in Bogota in March. Really appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening. This has been the Alternalido podcast. My name is Canyon Cody from the Subsuelo crew, inviting you to join us over on the radio show where we play new music every Sunday, 11 p.m., broadcasting out the world famous K-Rock 106.7 FM in Los Angeles or streaming on the free Odyssey app. You might find your new favorite song on the radio show, but then come back here onto the podcast and maybe find your new favorite band. Follow and listen to the Alternalido podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app.